Hans and Scotty here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. Hope you're all well. Thanks for making us part of your day. By the way, before we get into this segment, let's give away some tickets. I got Stars tickets. What was the game? February 1st, Lloyd?
Yes, February 1st.
Against the Rio Grande Death Vipers or Spit Vipers or
Pit?
Valley Vipers.
The Valley Vipers.
Did you ever play Valley High School?
Mm-mm. Valley View.
Oh, Valley View?
Yep.
Were they any good?
Yeah, very good.
Anyway, we had the Valley 8-5.
We had All Valley, the All Valley tournament.
No, that was Karate Kid.
Oh, you're right. I've confused my own childhood with Karate Kid.
855-340-ZONE. That's 855-340-ZONE. During the break, Hans and I were talking about random high schools in Idaho that we played, and Valley High School, the Valley Vikings. They were really good when I was a freshman, and then they kind of teetered off a little bit. But
are they – they're south?
They're outside of Twin a little bit.
We had somebody come and see us, some listeners come and see us all the way from Bear River. And I thought Bear River was Idaho, but Scotty has corrected me. I think it's Bear Lake. It's Bear Lake High School.
Bear Lake's in Idaho.
Yeah.
Bear River's outside of Tremonton. In fact, well, it is in Tremonton. But that was one of the first jobs I ever did in radio. It was called Bear River High School Games.
That was one of your. Was that before or after the country station?
During. It was okay. A country station that did high school games. So I'd go. Yeah, I know.
So they played the high school games on that country station.
Yeah. We.
Was that a Logan signal only?
No, I got Logan. It was kind of like 97.5, 1280. It was 103.9 and 104.9. The 103.9 signal was Logan, and 104.9 was Box Elder County.
And did you simulcast it with both?
No, we would split.
Oh.
And so we would do Bear River and Box Elder games on the 104.9 signal, and then on 103.9 we would do like Logan or whatever games we could do in Cache Valley.
Did you ever use the what the hell just happened in a high school game?
That did not happen, no.
That didn't happen.
No. We talk about viral calls. I need to find that David call. Do you know what we were talking about?
No, I don't. I have no idea what you're talking about. But he sounded very disinterested in having that audio brought up.
I don't know where we can find that. Honestly, he may have, because the producers at the time, I think Lloyd might remember this guy, Travis Russ, Blue. I think he may have been producing back then, and David may have had him scrub that from all existence. But it was Jazz were down like two, they were down like five, they hit a big three, and then they were trying to inbound, and I think it was Andre Karolinko stole the inbound and had a layup to either tie or win it, and he botched the layup. And it kind of hung on the rim a little bit, much like the game the other night, and David goes, like it was like just gibberish. And it was really funny, and frankly, it was really awesome because everybody was thinking the same thing. But
how have I not heard of or this call?
I don't know. I gotta find
what,
it.
So would that have been 2009-ish? 10-ish?
10-11 around there. Yeah.
That is crazy. I've never heard this call because he was really unhappy that you brought that up. I thought he was genuinely upset that you brought that up. Did you not get that feeling?
Yeah, I think he was a little upset with that.
It was to the point where there were national stations that were bringing him on to make fun of him. Oh, did you find it?
Yeah, I may have found a.
Oh, if he's listening, this is going to go poorly. Scotty's digging on the internet to find a David Locke cut from years ago.
Oh, it's not important. All right, so. You and I we didn't get a chance to talk about this. So you're Roger Goodell, you're the commissioner of the NFL, and you can change rules. And it's right on the heels of Josh Allen not getting a possession in overtime. Everybody's upset. They think Josh Allen deserved an opportunity to try to tie that game up and extend that game. Instead, Kansas City wins the coin toss. They go right down, win the game. Buffalo offense never touches the field. Do you go to your rules committee and say, we got to change this?
Yes. Yep. And it's a very simple change to me. This is not a regular season change. It's just a postseason change. And it goes through the playoffs and into the Super Bowl. Regular season, I don't care if I bag it and just run some field goal kickoffs. I don't even care regular season. But in the postseason, I would like to see both teams with possession. And this is the way I'd run it. 15-minute clock.
Yeah.
Give them each a possession. One scores a touchdown. The other scores a touchdown. Now it becomes instant. Now it becomes instant death. Now it becomes first team that scores wins. So you go down, you score a touchdown. They go down and score a touchdown. Well, now I'm thinking, all right, what do I got to do? We got to figure something out. We stop them for a field goal, or, you know, if they come down and they kick a field goal, get themselves in field goal position, it ends the game. It's not – I just want to give both teams an
offense.
So everybody
gets a possession.
Yep.
And then after that, it's sudden death.
Sudden death. That's what I meant.
Yep. Yeah, I don't think that's an unreasonable ask for the playoffs.
Yeah, because if my defense isn't good enough to stop you and you get into the end zone, and my offense isn't good enough to go get a score to match yours, then you're the rightful winner.
So, as a former player who knows the physical toll of playing at that level, what is your response to those that say, well, we got to be thinking about player safety?
We won't do it in the regular season.
Yeah.
In fact, in the regular season, we'll cut back. We'll make it as simple as this in the regular season. And there will be no overtime in preseason games. So no overtime in preseason games. Very minimal overtime in regular season. We'll make sure that this is cut really quick with the full idea and understanding that when we're in postseason play, it is an extended quarter until both teams score, and then it is sudden death.
What if we just play one full quarter, and whoever's leading after that quarter?
I could get on board with that. I just don't know if that's totally necessary to run total 15 out. If one team scores, another scores, and my defense can't stop you, and now I get two opportunities to stop. If I lose the coin toss, I get two opportunities to stop. If I can't stop you, I don't deserve to win. But I do want to see both teams with an offensive possession.
I mean, ultimately, we could have a situation, and I remember a playoff game, I think it was the Rams and the Panthers a while ago, that went into double overtime. Like, the first 15 minutes, nobody scored. And this was under the old sudden death rules, where you just needed a field goal. So there is a precedence, and there is elements built into the NFL playoff system where if nobody's scoring points, they're just going to keep going. Mm-hmm. So it's not like you're concerned about player safety, sure, but yet you're not going to just end the game in a tie. Like, these guys are going to keep playing football until this thing's over. So why not put into the machine, essentially, into the rules that everybody gets one possession. Mm-hmm. And after that, boom.
I just remember getting to the postseason and being at that part of the season, there's a light at the end of the tunnel. And that light gives you energy. It energizes teams. That's why, well, that and the thought of the prize that's in front of you, everything ramps up. And the elite are weeded out.
Yeah.
So, you know, there are a few things that ramp up postseason play in all professional sports. Number one, it's the end of the season. Everybody feels it. You know it. And it energizes you. Number two, the weak are eliminated. It's the best of the best. Number three, the prize is right there in front of you. You've got an opportunity to go seize that prize, and there's more money that's involved, but there's the hardware that's involved, the ultimate accomplishment. So everything ramps up. And in that moment, I can't see how giving each team an offensive possession is going to cause any stir with the players, especially if you say to them, regular season, no. Because if you're week four, you're week five, and you're still looking at yourself like, okay, we're week five, and we've got 12 weeks left. We're in week five. We got 12 weeks left with this new 17-game schedule. 12 weeks is a long time. Things yeah. feel bleak. In college, that's nearly halfway through the season.
Yeah.
In the NFL, it's a third or less. So things feel bleak, and I'm sure that the NBA feels the same way. We talked about the 82 games and what we've seen right now, what we're seeing currently in the NBA. So minimalize what you do in overtime in that, but postseason, it means a lot more.
I came away from that game not really knowing if the best team won that game on that day.
Oh, I think you're right on that.
Kansas City might be the best team, but it just didn't.
Based off of how Josh Allen was playing in that game, I don't know who the best team was.
I just came away. It's like when you have a really great Thanksgiving dinner, and you're like, oh, man, this is great. We got the turkey. We got the stuffing. We got all this stuff. And then somebody's like, hey, where's the mashed potatoes? And you're like, oh, man, we forgot the potatoes. And you had a really good meal. It was a great meal, but you're like, something's missing here.
Yeah, something missing.
I didn't get those taters, man. It just didn't feel right. And I get it. Like, we get the straw with 13 seconds. I 100%, I understand all of that. But if we're really trying to just say, you know, who's the best team, I just don't feel like we can really determine that with only one team getting an offensive possession. That's, again, people are going to be all cranky about stuff, but that's just my opinion.
I saw an interesting scenario. Somebody said, scrap the whole playoffs and Super Bowl and just make this a three-game series.
No, I don't hate that.
Wouldn't that be awesome?
Yeah.
Get to see these teams potentially two more times.
Although I want to see the Rams play the Chiefs. I think that'll be a really fun Super Bowl matchup.
Yeah, it would.
So help me, if it's the 49ers and the Bengals, I'm just going to be eating ribs and wings the whole time.
Just turn it into
the 80s all over again.
I'm going to be doing that anyway. But
with the Bengals, Lloyd? Or are you just talking about the 49ers?
No, when the Niners Bengals. Played the Bengals.
They played twice in the 80s.
They did.
Oh, my gosh.
I think the Bengals That's got right. smoked both times?
No, the second time was the drive, the one actual competitive Super Bowl we had in the 80s and most of the 90s as well. That was the Bengals. It was tied or something like that. Anyway, Montana takes them right down the field, and they I think it was a touchdown pass to John Taylor.
Oh, I think that's right.
Which is the first one they smoked him. The second one was actually relatively close.
Nobody wants to see that Super Bowl. I do agree with you. The Rams-Chiefs would be fantastic. But I wouldn't hate seeing both teams get the offensive possession. Then there's another part of me that's like, everybody just stop whining and stop crying about it.
Yeah.
And if you can't stop them defensively, then you're a turd. But Buffalo has an amazing defense. I still can't believe they didn't give at least a little bit more of a fight.
Yeah.
I would love to pick the brain of that defensive coordinator or pick the brain of the Bills coaching staff and just say, what did you think when you lost that coin toss? What did you think? Did you think game was over? Because you and I did.
Yeah.
Did you think it was?
I thought, yeah.
Did you? And I'd love to ask them.
Yeah. Like, what was your thought there?
Or did you feel like, all right, that's one of our team's best attributes. Put our defense out there. All we got to do is get it back, get ourselves in field goal position. We win this. You know, there is some advantage. If you stop them, all you got to do is kick a field goal to win it.
No, that's 100% right. If you get the stop, you don't need to score a touchdown. You just need to kick a field goal and the game's over.
Yeah, so there's a bit of an advantage there.
Yeah.
I kick it. You receive it at 25, stop you on three and out. You punt it. I get it on my 15. And four or five plays later, I'm at a 30-yard field goal.
The way Josh Allen's mowing down up and down the field.
I'm at a 30-yard field, 40-yard field goal.
I mean, you're a fumbled snap away or, you know, a drop ball.
It's not horribly unfair.
That's the thing. I'm with you on that. Like, I don't look at this, and that's part of me is like, I don't know if we need to do it because we're talking about one game, and I don't know. I always hate making, like, broad changes based on one individual game.
Because we wanted to see Josh Allen one more time.
But the problem is I wanted to see Josh Allen one more time. I wanted that game to be extended. I came away from that game having a really great meal. I just missed my mashed potatoes. Where's my damn pretzel salad?
That is the best part of it. Josh Allen in a single series, he ran it 60 yards, 65 yards. Yeah. He had like three fourth down conversions, two of them with his feet. I wanted to see more of him. I didn't want the game to end. Maybe that's another part of it. None of us wanted that game to end.
No.
I didn't want the weekend to end. I can't wait for this upcoming weekend, even though I think that this upcoming weekend is going to be a letdown in comparison to what we saw in the divisional rounds. I feel like these conference championship games are kind of getting...
Well, we set the bar pretty high. It's hard to try to match what we just saw.
It's got to be... I don't know if I'll ever see anything like I saw with the Bills and the Chiefs again. 13 seconds and getting yourself in field goal position to kick a game-tying field goal to send yourself to overtime where you go win it. I mean, you can't – I still don't know how he scored with 13 – how they got themselves where they got in 13 seconds. But because when he went in for that touchdown, you know, he took that drive in a minute. Josh Allen took that Bills drive in 1 minute, 1 minute, 4 seconds, three timeouts. And they were in the end zone with 13 seconds left.
Yeah.
That in and of itself was would have been an incredible storyline.
Yeah.
Josh Allen leading the Bills back to an incredible win against Kansas City. And then you just throw this weird twist on top of it that Patrick Mahomes does what he does, and it just adds to the mystery of that game. And we didn't want it to stop, and that's why we're all sitting here running through scenarios. But you're right. When will that ever present again? I mean, I guess it could present next week, and Janine might not get his offensive opportunity.
I don't think Janine Garoppolo is taking that team 60 yards in 13 seconds.
Yeah, I can't see it either. But that was the biggest issue, is none of us wanted it to end.
I know.
And when you saw them get in for that touchdown, my mind instantly thought, what would Josh Allen do? How would he do? Taking him from the 25 right now. Kansas City wouldn't have stopped him. They'd have got in on a touchdown. Kansas City couldn't have stopped Buffalo if they won that coin toss.
No, nope.
Josh Allen would have wheeled them into the end zone.
And we'd be talking about the same thing. You know, oh, man, it just I would have loved to have seen Patrick Mahomes get another crack at this thing.
Yep.
I don't know. I wouldn't have said that because I don't like the Chiefs.
So if I had a perfect world, I'd change things a little bit in the postseason. Each get an offensive possession, then it goes to sudden death.
I'd prefer instant death.
Well, sudden and instant.
No, I would prefer it. Wouldn't that be cool? Instant death?
Lloyd, you've really been on my case lately, all right?
We need to get like some way to play Lloyd drops.
I know. Makes me so mad. He just sits there and cherry picks.
I'm not making a drop out of this. I just said I would prefer instant death. More entertaining?
Play your double question right now.
Yeah. Play where you said that the RV would fit 800 people and it only seats 3.
The guy corrected you, said
it's only made for two.
It was only made for two. The thing was huge.
You get like 25 people. The guy's like, yeah. Actually,
could fit a whole family in there.
Actually, only about two, maybe three if they're rather small.
No, this one's just built for David Locke.
I get instant death. I don't even know what I was thinking with it. I'll tell you, when I said it, I was like, that can't be right. Instant death? No, that's not right. But then I'm like, no, that must be right because I can't think of sudden death. Thanks for correcting me. Appreciate you being a good friend, Lloyd, and saying in my ear, hey, Hans, sudden death.
Scotty jumped on and helped you out.
Well, I know, but you could have said in my ear, it's not instant, it's sudden. That would have been nice.
I help you out quite a bit. Don't come on. Who looks out for you? I do.
Was it earlier in the week that I just completely forgot the phone number, and Lloyd's like, 350.
See, like, I do. Come on. But instant death does sound like a serious instant death. Like, you don't get it, you die.
That does have kind of an ominous feel to it.
Right?
Well, Bob, we've now entered the part of the game where it's now instant death.
Think about the pressure.
You know that if Butker hits this field goal here, the entire Buffalo Bill roster will be executed at midfield.
Instant death.
Well, didn't the coach get in trouble for it?
Yeah, the Notre Dame, now LSU guy.
Coach Kelly.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Southern Bell.
Yeah, we should have them executed. Coach, did your team execute the final play well? No, we should have them executed.
Now, I'm all in favor of instant death. All right, Hans and Scotty, we're live here at Tim Daly Nissan in Murray, 4528 South State Street. You've heard us talk about these guys forever. They're good friends of ours. Rich is the man, and he's going to get you in a vehicle that you're going to be fired up to drive, a vehicle that you can afford to drive with 0% financing, a vehicle that's going to be on the road forever with that forever warranty that's applied to every new vehicle sale for free. And a vehicle you're going to love to drive, too. They're fun. Look, the Nissan is such a tremendous brand. Take advantage of it right now. Come down, say hi. Tim Daly, Nissan in Murray, 4528 South State Street, right here on the Zone Sports Network.
This is DJ and PK.
Dennis Dodd joining us, CBS Sports, CBSSports.com.
As I look at this new Big 12, when it comes time for Texas and Oklahoma to leave, I like the conference. And if you compare it to the Pac-12, I think it compares favorably. How do you see it?
You're going to need one team or two teams to be dominant, which the Pac-12 hasn't had. The advantage for the Big 12 going forward is because in an expanded playoff, if we ever get there, you're only going to have to be 11-2 to get in. The advantage for any of it is that you don't have to go 12-1 or undefeated. So if you've got the schedule, if you won the league, or even if you hadn't, in the case of the SEC, which is going to have a say in this, you're going to have a really good shot with two losses, depending on who you put.
Catch DJ and PK mornings from 6 till 10 on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. It's time to spin the wheel and talk some sports. This is another edition of Sports Roulette with Hans Olsen and Scotty G on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Scotty, 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Sports Roulette, we take some of the storylines we've not had a chance to get to. We put it on a roulette wheel and spin it. Let the let fate determine what our conversation will be. Before we get to it, you heard Jared Butler and was almost a little giddy in that post-game press conference. And I got to imagine it's kind of tough for a guy. Like, you know, I don't know, you know, if there was a offensive lineman or anybody that you admired growing up. And then you line up against him in an NFL game, and let's say you bull rush him and sack a quarterback, but you end up losing the game. And afterwards, like, hey, talk us through it. And you're like, I got him and I got a sack. You see what I did? And they're like, but in your mind, you're like, oh, I can't be too excited because we lost the game.
Yeah, you don't want to Carlos Boozer the thing.
Yeah, and so you could see like Jared Butler, like I stuck a three in the face of Chris Paul.
Yeah.
Did you guys see that? I just did that.
Yeah.
And then he's like, oh crap, we lost the game, but I can't be too excited about it.
Yeah, but in the long run, we ended up losing, and so what I did is not important.
But damn, did you see that?
But of course, it's important to him.
Yeah, I mean,
that's a huge accomplishment to him.
I think that's cool, and I think we sometimes in the media kind of put emotions and we expect guys to act a certain way. I think it is just fine for Jared Butler to be like, I played against Chris Paul. I got a play or two against Chris Paul. I had some moments out there, and that was pretty cool.
Jared Butler did have some moments last night.
Yeah.
That was one thing that you could take away. You saw some moments from him. You've seen a couple of moments from Tripp Forrest. You've seen some of these guys that otherwise you wouldn't know of come in and take extra minutes from that Toronto game and all the way through. That's the last time Jared Butler was on the court, was that Toronto game.
Yeah.
When about the same group was out. So he took full advantage of the minutes he got.
All right, time for Sports Roulette. Lloyd, fire up that wheel.
It's about time.
So I want to run this by you, Scotty, and see how you feel about this. And I'm always hesitant to talk about these things and have opinions on them because we don't have all the details. But I think we've got enough of the details now with Jackson Hayes. He's the center for the New Orleans Pelicans. And for those of you that haven't seen the video from this last summer, got in a fight with cops. Cops ended up tasing him.
Yeah.
It was a big mess. There was a domestic violence call. That's why the cops were there. They wanted to see inside the house. He ended up in a pretty bad scrum, hurt one of the officers pretty badly, and ended up tased. And the whole thing was just a mess. Well, Scotty, he's now played in 33 games, including just yesterday against the Pacers, 15 or 16 minutes. Now listen to this. He was charged with 12 misdemeanor counts in total. So three counts of inflicting corporal injury to a spouse, two counts of domestic battery, one count of battery against an officer, one count of false imprisonment, three counts of vandalism, one count of aggravated trespassing, and one count of resisting arrest. So he was charged with these things January 20th. He actually played a game on January 20th and then had his arraignment yesterday, the same day that he played against the Pacers.
Oh, geez.
So he's played 33 games, including the day of his charge, official charge, and the day of his arraignment. And I don't know if the Pelicans have any intention to not play him.
Doesn't seem like it.
And so I'm really confused here because I thought that the NBA, I thought that professional leagues in general were taking a hardline stance against domestic violence. And this seems to say otherwise. He's officially charged. And I get it, innocent until proven guilty. But, okay, the video of him assaulting and injuring an officer is pretty incriminating.
Yep.
I guess I'm starting to wonder, what is it? What does it take now?
Because now you got video.
Yeah. What does it take now? You got video of this guy harassing police officers that are trying to get in and check in on a domestic situation.
Yeah. I don't know. I wish I had an answer for you.
It's hard for me because 33 games in, and you wonder, did this guy learn a lesson? You know, he's got other loved ones. He loses his temper and hits another loved one. We've seen cases where not only does that individual not change, it gets worse.
It gets worse, yep.
The hits are harder. The abuse is more. And I don't understand how these professional outlets continue to say, well, we got to take it. Well, we don't have the facts.
We're still getting all the details on
this. The facts are, go look at the video of him tussling with officers that are trying to get in to check in on a domestic violence.
Because that used to be the telltale thing. Well, the video is what's ultimately going to be the thing that gets him off the court, gets the fine, the suspension, and the jail time. And now you've got that, and he's going through the legal process. I don't know why he's playing games.
I'm trying to think of an occupation, a job, where if a video surfaces to your boss of you tussling with officers that came to check in on a domestic violence issue, that you're back at work for the next two quarters of the year.
I don't think it exists. And frankly, I don't think it exists in many other professional sports. Like, I think the NFL, I don't think you play in the NFL if this happens.
I thought they were trying to crack down on it, but I thought the NBA was trying to crack down on it too. So I'm really confused with this. He's played 33 games this season, all 33 under the understanding of what had happened, the video that surfaced, the charges that were ongoing.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
12 misdemeanor counts, including three counts of inflicting corporal injury to a spouse.
Wow. Well, let's spin the wheel, Lloyd.
Uncommon Raiders news coming out of Las Vegas.
I don't believe that's what the headline said, Lloyd.
You can't change the headlines.
The headline is the headline.
You can't change the headline.
I'm just reading what's on the wheel, man.
The wheel says Raiders gonna Raider.
I'm looking at the wheel right now. That's not what it says.
Let me guess. Something bad happened in Las Vegas.
Well, remember Nate Hobbs?
Yeah.
Hobbs was arrested back on January 6th for a misdemeanor charge of DUI. So they're like, okay, that's a bad thing, right? Especially after your teammate has just killed somebody in a DUI.
Did he get arrested after? Was that?
He was arrested. Yes, this happened.
His DUI was after?
After Ruggs, yes. It was just 2 weeks ago. It was January 6th.
Oh, my gosh.
He gets arrested for a DUI. So after you get hit with a DUI and you're going through that legal process, you got to think to yourself, okay, I really screwed up. I did a bad thing. That was really stupid of me. I need to be smarter and change some ways. Or at least, even if you're a pretty bad person, be like, I just need to lay low for a little bit and be cool and not do something stupid, at least for maybe 3 weeks.
Let's give it a year.
Maybe a year. Yeah.
Give it a year.
At least a few months. Well, Nate Hobbs has been arrested again for reckless driving. He was going 110 miles an hour on Freeway 215 just 2 weeks after a DUI. Received a car that the driver received multiple complaints from a driver in excessive speed on the freeway. He was able to be pulled over and was clocked at doing 110.
And arrested
for reckless driving. So, well, no, not arrested. Cited. Sorry.
Cited.
He should have been arrested.
I agree.
So what do you think, Lloyd? He's going to be part owner within the next month?
No, he won't be part owner.
He will be interviewing for the head coaching position coming up next week.
Oh, my God.
Hobbs, a fifth-round pick out of last year's NFL draft, had 74 tackles, a sack, and an interception in 16 games.
You know, I got to say, Scotty, that it wouldn't even take me getting a DUI to say, well, I better give this a couple weeks or give it a few months. It would just take a teammate drunkenly running into a woman and her dog and killing them both in a fiery crash.
Oh, I forgot about the dog, yeah. That's right.
Like, okay, so just think, if somebody on our staff got a DUI, you would probably say to everybody, this is a bad situation, and this is what happens. It's a really ugly deal, and especially if it was at that level, you know, a crash that killed somebody. And all of us would kind of be on high alert, like, boy, that went bad for our teammate. That's a really bad, ugly situation. And then he gets hit with the DUI. And then it's like, boy, that was really dumb. I better start making better life decisions. And then he ends up 110 miles per hour getting cited. Did he get cited at 110?
Cited at 110, yeah.
So he's probably doing 150.
Yeah.
Where do you gotta be that you're doing 110? Come on.
Okay, well.
Oh, now you've done it, Lloyd.
Here's the thing. You know, there may be some country roads in the middle of nowhere, Idaho, where you might be able to do something like that. But it's not 2 weeks after you got a DUI.
No.
And not in Vegas weaving through traffic.
Exactly. You're not Emilio Estevez in those
Fast and Furious
movies.
Is Emilio Estevez in
them? Emilio is not in those movies.
Emilio!
Emilio!
Pretty sure.
No, he's not.
We're family.
Emilio and Charlie.
Yeah.
He's not driving the garbage truck for Men at Work.
Garbage truck for Men at Work.
At 116,
oh,
Emilio.
Man. I watched that the other day, Men at Work.
Do you know, by the way, those Ruggs jerseys, I saw at a mall here in town that they're still selling those?
Wow.
Rugs?
Did they have it in the team store down there in the stadium?
No. Nope. Pulled from there.
I can't imagine that, Lloyd.
I swear on everything.
Rugs jersey for sale?
Rugs jersey in a store in one of the malls here.
Wow.
Yeah, they might need to go and get that piece out.
In fact, the guy tried to sell it to me. I'm like, no. This was before I went to Las Vegas.
You'll not believe this. This is 75% off.
No, they weren't even on sale.
Wow.
Lloyd, have they sentenced Rugs?
No, I don't believe so.
Yeah. I don't even know. Is that thing going to trial, or did he just flat out
I would imagine
guilty?
He just pleads guilty. What else is he going to do?
I would hope so.
He was there.
Yeah.
It's kind of hard to believe, isn't it, Scotty? Like, the opportunities that these guys have. And
the other thing, too, is
I understand dumb mistakes, but fighting cops after a domestic violence situation, or hitting 110 after 2 weeks after a DUI, or doing 160 and smashing into somebody's car drunk, like,
well, and you know this better than anybody because you're around the league. But if you're a high level draft pick, if you're like Ruggs or frankly anybody that's on the active 53, if you're at a party and you're drunk, I guarantee you there has been multiple meetings, team meetings where team officials are like, look, if you're in a bad spot, here's a number. You call that number, somebody's going to answer 24/7. We will come get you. Mm-hmm. We will get you out of whatever situation you're in. We will drive you home. Do not put yourself in a bad spot. There are so many services available for these guys. You wouldn't believe it. Honestly, it is like a concierge at your beck and call 24/7. If you think you're too drunk, you don't These guys aren't taking Ubers anywhere. They're not calling a cab. They're calling a number, a team number, where some intern is like, right to their, right to whatever bar, wherever they're at, picking them up and getting them home. Like, there is these guys, there's privacy involved. Like, there's eight. I can't imagine. The screw-ups are really hard to believe because the teams have so many safety measures in place to try to avoid that from happening.
You would think that it would be so easy for them to use that, but there's two things that get in the way of it. The ego and the inconvenience. Ego and the inconvenience. Yeah. They think, what does it matter? I mean, if I get in this car and they find out that I'm Hobbs or any one of these other guys, they're going to understand and, you know, and plus I'm not that blitzed and I don't want the inconvenience of even waiting 5 or 8 minutes or 15 or 20 minutes to have somebody come get me. I've got my keys, I've got my car, and I've got my ego, and I'm going to go get in it. Now, some of these extreme cases where guy's doing 150-something and hits somebody and kills them, that's a different level. Yeah. But, you know, this is happening pretty frequently.
Hans and Scotty, wrap things up. Get you ready for Unrivaled straight ahead here on the Zone Sports Network.
This is Jake Scott and Ben Anderson.
So I'm the argument that good teams don't lose 6 out of 7, and you're arguing that bad teams don't almost go undefeated in December. And I think they're both accurate. So I think we are trying to get a gauge on what this Jazz team is. Now, to your point, the Jazz were healthy when they were winning games.
But if the Jazz are asking questions to themselves, is what can I get for Joe Ingles, and do I have to parlay any more to get what we actually need? To get better.
Agreed.
Hear Jake Scott and Ben Anderson every day from 10 to noon on 97.5 1280 The Zone, powered by KSLSports.com.
Hans and Scotty here on 97.5 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. Hope you're all well. By the way, it's that time of year again, folks. It is that time where it's time for flowers. Jimmy's Flowers is going to help make it happen for you. Don't be a loser on Valentine's Day. Don't be a screw-up. There's one – and again, you're thinking, okay, well, I'm going to use Jimmy's Flowers. I'm just going to wait until, you know, the day of. No, get your order in now so you know exactly you get the flowers you want. Like, my wife is a fan of tulips. This isn't a great time of year for tulips. Mm-hmm. They're there. They're available. But you got to get out ahead of it a little bit. So go to jimmysflowers.com, get your order in, and you're going to be good to go.
It's not that hard. Do it.
Yeah.
How difficult would it be to be a Bills player and get over that loss?
Oh, my gosh.
You know, I know I was listening to their coach talk about it a little bit, and he said that he may never get over it. He said it's going to be in my gut for years. I'm just trying to think, how do you get over something? 13 seconds on the clock, an opportunity to advance, and, you know, advance and have a pretty darn good matchup and a good opportunity to advance to the Super Bowl if you can get past the Chiefs in that moment.
Yeah.
And you lose with 13 seconds on the clock.
And those – there's probably some guys on that Buffalo team that are thinking to themselves, okay, well, look, we got a stud quarterback. We got a really good team. We'll just run it back next year. We'll be all right. You just never know, man. Every year is a little different, and you never know when your window's open or how long it's going to be open and when it's going to close. You mm-hmm. can have one of those injury-riddled seasons. That's the thing. Like, the NFL, man, it's only there for a moment, and then it can close pretty quick. Like, I think Kansas City's window is starting to close already. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've seen the rest of the league catch up. They might win another Super Bowl this year, but – you know, Aaron Rodgers will show up at Denver and the Broncos will knock him off next year and then you won't hear from him again.
Well, Aaron Rodgers was the example I was going to bring up. Green Bay has been spinning their wheels ever since they got one. Now they got one and the Bills don't have one, but Aaron Rodgers and Green Bay got one, but they've been just rinse and repeat every year for a long time now.
Saw something. They had 30 years of Hall of Fame play and only two Super Bowls to show for it.
It's a great point.
Was that Green Bay?
Yeah, Brett Favre and transition right into Aaron Rodgers, two elite quarterbacks for, you're right, 30 years. and you got two Super Bowls. Now, granted, that's great, but those are a lot of years, and you only have two titles to show for it.
Josh Allen's going to be good for a lot of years, though.
That's a great point. But, you know, but Dan Marino was great and only went to one Super Bowl, and that was his second year in the league.
Yeah, you never just run something back.
Yeah.
Not in the NFL. Just too much turnover, too much unpredictability. We'll see how they draft. I'd love to see them take a quarterback in the first round. Just tick off Josh Allen.
Oh, man, that'd be great.
Did you learn nothing from Green Bay?
All right, wrapping up another edition of the show. Unrivaled coming up next. Hans Olsen, Scott Girard. Hey, big thanks to Tim Daly, Nissan, and Murray. A lot of great listeners coming by today. It's always fun chatting with guys coming by and saying hi. Big thanks to Rich and the crew down here. Look, if you're looking for a vehicle, I know it's kind of a weird time in the car buying world that you're living in right now, but you owe it to yourself to come down and talk to Rich or one of his guys down there. They'll help you out with whatever your issues are. If you feel like you're upside down or you feel like credit or whatever the case is, they've seen worse. And right now, with the used car inventory being as limited as right now, you're going to get more for your used vehicle than you could ever hope to imagine. So just come down here, run some numbers, see what they can do for you. You could be in one of these brand new Nissans with 0% financing, with a forever warranty, giving you peace of mind, so many other great things. Come take advantage of it right now. Tim Daly, Nissan in Murray, 4528 South State Street. That's Tim Daly, Nissan in Murray, right here on the Zone Sports Network.